This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And at 9:04, it's time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. By Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. By Security National Bank, with locations to serve you in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. By Midwest Basement Technologies, call 618-372-7077. By the Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond and Farmersville and Hillsboro. And by Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing and machine shop in Litchfield. Here are the guys. It's Tim Mize, Terry Tote, and Uncle Ralph.
Thank you very much, and happy Memorial Day to everyone, and especially to all of our veterans out there. Yes. Uncle Ralph, happy Memorial Day.
Thank you. Thank you, and likewise to all those who served and all those who unfortunately gave their lives for their country. We owe a lot to those people, men and women. Years ago, women were not in the military per se as they are today, but you had nurses and you had a lot of things that they did do. So a very important part in their
I've heard some nurses from the World War II era, yes, and Korean era that actually picked up a gun now and then, only because they had to.
Yes, yeah. Yes. So we owe a lot to anyone, past, present, future, whenever, who has taken time out of his life to serve his country and serve it well.
That's right. So when you're sitting around the old barbecue pit this weekend, just remember why you're off work on Monday.
Yeah.
And why you're able to sit around that pit without somebody taking a shot at you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, Taryn, you said so many times about whenever old Nixon resigned, there was no tanks in the streets.
No tanks in the streets.
You know, just a smooth transition.
You know, you a lot of things probably aren't right with the country, but there are a lot of things that are.
That's right.
And you know, that was one of the more trying times in history, when you had the resignation of a president and the passing of power. And I've heard the story told from news people on the national correspondent level that went and got their kids and brought them down there in front of the White House and showed them that there was not a tank, not a soldier there. You know, here in America, it's the peaceful passing of power from one person to the presidential power from one person to another.
And in America, for whatever reason, no matter if it's politics, mm-hmm, or sports, we have a tendency to focus on the negative all the time. Yeah. We're always so negative, negative, negative. But if you just sit back and think about all the positives, this, sure, is still the greatest land in the, yeah, world by a long shot. And our armed forces are a big reason why.
Yeah, absolutely. We don't have to worry about going to sleep at night and worry about being bombed. Right. We don't.
Nope.
We don't. Never. I've never worried about that.
No.
You know, it's only because what those people have done, our intelligence agencies have done, and how they keep an eye on everything for us. We've got some tremendously wonderful, smart, brave people working for us, and many of whom will never be recognized for it.
And so many things we take for granted, and we can sit here this morning, guys, and say, well, What does it have to do with us? And it does have to do with us, and I'm speaking of them sending a shuttle up to the up in space.
Oh, it's to the space station.
Unmanned.
Right.
Yeah. This thing goes up there on its own, of course, controlled by people in Houston or wherever. This one was not in Houston. It was, wasn't it out?
Actually, it was SpaceX Corporation based out on the West Coast,
yeah,
and in cooperation with NASA. And of course, the initiative now is to bring commercial space flight in to assist NASA. And NASA is still working on the heavy lift rockets and perhaps going back to the moon. But, you know, there are other things that those in power feel they need to be taken care of. But the International Space Station is up there. We were part of it. We have a responsibility to help take care of it. And this was huge. This was a huge thing to have a successful flight from a private company. This is absolutely huge. And it was unmanned only because they're not through testing everything yet. One of these days, it will be a manned flight from a private company.
If it was the 50s, they would have just put a monkey in there and would have been off.
Well, I tell you what, they wouldn't. They will never do that again.
Oh, no, not now. That's why I said the 50s.
Yeah. Ham was the name of the chimp, by the way, you referred to.
Go ahead, Ralph.
No, I was just going to say, did I understand him right? This deal that happened Have the Russians already done this once? Is that what they said? Or the Russians are preparing to do this very same thing?
Well, the Russians continue to send missions to the International Space Station. That's where the Americans catch their ride. We have to actually rent a seat for $30 million a pop to go to the International Space Station. This was just a supply run, just to make sure all the systems worked. So far so good. It's bringing it back home, which is probably one of the more terrifying things with making sure you have the heat shield proper. You have to have the right angle of inclination coming back into the atmosphere. Plus, you have to recover it. And they're going to pack this thing full of a lot of experimental stuff that's been done on this space station for years and hope to bring it back home.
How much are we renting the spot on that seat?
I think it was $30 million per astronaut. But we're not, this was unmanned. So,
drop in the bucket for the space program. And if you ever go to Washington, D.C., check out the Smithsonian Museum, Aeronautics Museum. They've got a great... great wing dedicated to the space program.
And you all know I'm a space geek. I freely admit it. I'm part of the space age generation, space babies, whatever you want to call it. And people have complained for a year about the cost of NASA. Well, first and foremost, it employed 400,000 people at its peak. Okay? The research and technology advancements were just absolutely tremendous. But one thing it did do, believe it or not, during the era of the 60s, the total cost was approximately, it varies, but say it was $30 billion. I read one person who said, what was the cost of preventing nuclear war? Well, it was $30 billion and it was called the space race. There you go.
Yeah.
We directed the attention away from Earth to space. And finally, what happened? America and the Soviet Union, the Russians got together. So we averted nuclear disaster.
Yeah.
Was it worth it? I think it was.
I would say so.
Plus, we learned a heck of a lot about each other and a heck of a lot of technology that benefits each and every one of us today. If you have a remote-controlled TV, that's NASA technology.
Well, Terry, I'm always amazed when you say that the first Apollo flights that were in space, the modern calculator is more powerful than what they were using for their computers. Yeah. That's nuts.
Their computers did not have kilobytes. It had megabytes. And it was not actually a computer readout. They had abbreviations for noun and verb, N and V for standing for different things. And, it was extremely primitive. And they knew landing on the moon was going to take pilots to land it, because they weren't real sure. MIT built the computer, and they weren't real sure how it was going to react. And what the funny thing was, when they went to MIT and says, hey, we're going to let you guys build the navigation computer. Well, the computers they had at MIT took up three stories. They're going, oh, by the way, we want it the size of a suitcase. And after they picked their jaw up off the floor, and they said, well, okay.
And there are so many things, if you've never had the opportunity to be there, and if you have, you realize all the things there is in our nation's capital to see.
Oh, yeah.
Certainly,
yeah.
Smithsonian Institute is one of them, and I've had the opportunity to be stationed there in the military, but it never ceased to amaze me. One of the older things there is I stand there at Washington's Monument, and I look at Washington's Monument, and I say, when they built this, how did they do it?
Right.
How'd they do it?
American ingenuity.
Yeah. But how did they build something that tall in that era? Right.
Because we have smart people in this country.
That's just like the arch, too. Yeah. Think about how they build the arch. Yeah. And they built it,
Yeah.
Everybody
come together.
Yep. By the way, one last thing before we leave the SpaceX flight.
Yeah.
Gordo Cooper's ashes, the last Mercury astronaut, his ashes went into space along with James Doohan, who played Scotty on Star Trek. Both got...
So they got beamed up.
They got beamed up, so to speak. The ashes were released in canisters, and they will disintegrate as they come back through the atmosphere. That was their wishes. So
very cool. So happy Memorial Day to all those men and women who have served the greatest country on the face of the earth.
Still the greatest country.
And will always
mankind has ever known.
Absolutely. We're actually going to take a break. When we come back, we'll start talking some sports. Big day of track and field at EIU. Of course, sectional championship baseball and softball today. We'll talk that following this.
If you're a farmer or an agribusiness, it's good to bank with people you know and trust. Hi, I'm Jim Miller, Vice President and Senior Loan Officer at Security National Bank. I specialize in ag lending, and Security National Bank's ag lending staff is experienced and ready to serve all your farming needs. We offer competitive rates. Stop by and see us today or log on to securitynb.com to find out more. Security National Bank, your hometown bank you can trust since 1932, with four locations to serve you in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Congratulations to all the seniors at Carlinville High School from your State Farm agent, Richard Oswald, your friends at Carlos Jewelry, and the Cinmar Corporation, all of Carlinville, Benty Shell Food Mart, serving the WSMI listening area, and the Bank and Trust Company in Litchfield, Carlinville, Raymond, Farmersville, Chatham, and Rochester, and Wright Automotive of Hillsboro.
Carlinville High School seniors include Rebecca Morgan, Kisara Merzia, Kristen Naples, Haley Noggle, Megan Noggle, Brett Nolan, James Olroyd, Sean Owens, Joshua Perkins, Blake Pingleton, and Abigail Pruitt.
And at 9:15, let's take a look at the weather forecast brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky. Sunny skies for today. Expect a high of around 95. Clearing skies for tonight with a low of around 70. Sunny for tomorrow for free spaghetti at the Italian-American Days tomorrow. Expect a high tomorrow of around 95 degrees. It'll be clear Sunday night with a low of around 73 degrees. At 9:16, we have a temperature reading of 80 degrees, and the weather forecast is brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky. Sports Saturday continues in just a moment.
Is your home moving without you? You don't need a realtor. You need the foundation repair experts at Midwest Basement Technologies. Serving Central Illinois for over 30 years, correcting bowed or cracked walls, settlement problems, or wet and leaky basements and crawl spaces. If you live in Central or Southern Illinois, they service you. Call 1-800-848-9805 for your local service tech, or visit them on the web at MidwestBasementTech.com. For money saving coupons, that's MidwestBasementTech.com. Remember, foundation problems won't go away. Protect your investment.
And at 9:16, Sports Saturday continues. Once again, here's Tim Mize, Terry Tote, and Uncle Ralph.
All right, Tobinot, thank you very much. Welcome back to WSMI Sports Saturday. Cardinal baseball for you tomorrow as they will be wrapping up their series against the Phillies. Hopefully going for the split as they've lost a couple of tough ones the last two nights.
Very, very tough ones. Of course, Philadelphia's not a bad team. I mean, they may be banged up like the Cardinals, but Philadelphia's still a pretty formidable team, especially we have the likes of Cliff Lee out there.
They still got the rotation.
Gee, bitty Christmas.
They still got Hunter Pence.
Oh, he's a good ball player.
Oh, man.
He doesn't look like a baseball player or look like much of an athlete until you actually watch him play. He just gets the job done.
Well, here's the difference from Hunter Pence before and Hunter Pence now. Couldn't hit a curveball before. Right. Now he's figured out how to hit a curveball.
And not only has he figured out the curveball, he's figured out how to lay off that curveball in the dirt.
Yeah,
I always say, guys, when somebody says, you know, he's a great ball player, but he doesn't look like a ball player. And I said, well, hark back to the early days. Did Babe Ruth look like a ball player?
Right.
Yeah. If I'm not mistaken, the Phillies got Hunter pretty much on the cheap, didn't they, from the Astros?
Yeah, I don't think they gave up a terrible amount.
No.
And they got him last year, of course, at the trade deadline. But hey, tell you what, he looked like a ball player last night when he took that high fastball into the right field seats. Looked like a ball player then.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that separates the men from the boys.
But the Cardinals had their chance in the eighth inning and the ninth inning. You get a leadoff single, sacrifice him to second in the ninth with one out. Got to get the job done. Yep. And once they didn't get it done in the ninth, you just knew they were going
to
lose.
It all boils down to that late-inning relief pitching. If you got it, you got it. And if you don't have, it's a simple game.
Yeah, and the Cardinals have not been good in close games late all year long. No. I don't know what the record is, but it is not good. I mean, it's well below 500.
I read a stat the other day that this year there have been more blown saves than probably in the history of baseball for the first part of the season.
Interesting.
Interesting how it's affected not just the Cardinals. It's affected most every team.
It's a league-wide problem.
Yeah, it's a league-wide problem.
Case in point, look at blowing opportunities that the Yankees have had. Why have they had them? Because Mr. Rivera's spent a lot of times on the sideline.
Yeah, that's a whole new world now for the Yankees without old Rivera in there at the ballgame. Because, I mean, he was really the one guy. He comes in, game over.
Yeah,
Pack up your stuff. Yeah. We're going home.
Turn the lights out and head for the exit.
That's right. That's right. Beat the traffic.
Of course, the Phillies have got a good closer, Papelbon. He's nothing to sneeze at.
Yeah. But he hasn't, you know, what sticks out, and we've talked about it a lot on this, but what sticks out about Rivera is he's done it his whole career.
Right. Mm-hmm. For a long, long time.
And there's no surprising anybody. You know what's coming. You knew what was coming.
Yeah.
You just can't hit it.
You just can't hit it. That's always the most impressive thing. You know, he's not up there fooling anybody, tricking anybody. Here it is. Try to hit it, and you
even can't. Even after it slowed down a couple feet, you know.
How many bats has he broken in his career?
Oh my gosh, I don't know. He's probably kept the two major bat companies in business, hasn't he?
He's probably personally responsible for all the trees that have disappeared.
And after a while, it has to get under the opponent's hat a little bit too.
Oh yeah,
no question. Yeah. So the Cardinals and the Phillies will play day baseball tomorrow. We'll have the action for you, I believe, at 12:20 on AM 1540. But, Terry, big day for high school baseball and softball sectional championship Saturday across the state.
Well, coming up today in Class 1A sectional baseball at Blackburn College in Carlinville, Alton Marquette will take on the Carrollton Hawks. Marquette coming off that 16-inning win against Nokomis. Carrollton picking up a 1-0 win over Jabot in their semifinal win. So you have the defending champions Carrollton and Alton Marquette playing at 1 this afternoon. At noon at Lewiston, the Pawnee Indians finally looking for their chance to break through and maybe advance to state this year. They're a darn good ball club. They're taking on Griggsville Perry at noon at Lewiston. And then at St. Anthony today in Effingham, St. Anthony takes on Farina South Central at 10 o'clock this morning in 1A. In 2A at Quincy Notre Dame, a very good Williamsville ball club will take on the host school, QND. That's an 11 o'clock game. Already underway at Robinson, Mount Zion meets Totopolis. And then at Vandalia at 11, Anna Jonesboro takes on Westland. So a very distinctive Southern Illinois flavor to that sectional championship.
Imagine Totopolis being in there.
Huh. Where the sun rose today, didn't it?
Yeah.
It did, yeah.
And in girls 1A softball, imagine T-Town. Imagine the shoes playing for a championship somewhere, huh? In girls 1A softball at Buffalo Tri-City, it's Toledo Cumberland taking on Tuscola. At Hardin today at Calhoun High School, Calhoun takes on Triopia. And at Woodlawn, Mulberry Grove, the Flying Aces taking on Woodlawn. And in 2A softball, at Vandalia, Marquette meets Robinson. See you later, Robinson. Shelbyville, Moreau, Forsyth against Williamsville. And at Pinckneyville, DuCoyne will meet Nashville. I bet Williamsville wins a one at Shelbyville, too. So, seen Williamsville over the years many, many times. They're a darn good tournament team.
Yep.
They just are.
And both their girls and boys are still going.
They sure
right?
are.
Yes,
yeah.
They are.
Yeah, the Williamsville
Marquette boys
team.
And girls and the Williamsville boys and girls.
Yeah, the Williamsville boys have probably been on the road towards Quincy for about 3 hours now, making that trick over to – that's God's country over there, let me tell you.
Go ahead.
We think about, like, around here, like, we live, like, in the country, in the middle of nowhere. No. You know, you live here in mid-Illinois. You're an hour from Springfield. You're an hour from St. Louis. Give or take. Carl and I got over there the other day to Quincy. We didn't see a civilized town for about 2 hours. I mean, you are out there. It is a long, long way. And how Litchfield, Williamsville, and Metairie Lutheran wound up over there for a sectional defies logic to me. And then Quincy Notre Dame gets to host it. I mean, they've got a big advantage in that game today.
Oh, sure.
Williamsville probably had to get up at 6 a.m. to get over there for an 11 o'clock game. Notre Dame just rolls out of bed and heads to the park. That's a big advantage.
Plus that they're good to start with.
Yes, you add that in. They don't need any advantage.
Yeah.
Neat yard over there, though.
Oh, I bet so.
At Quincy Notre Dame. They got a 20-foot high fence in left field, and then it juts out. It's over 400 feet into left center field. I mean, it is big. One of the biggest parks I've seen at the high school level.
Good ERAs for their pitchers, I bet.
I would imagine so. I would imagine so.
And you get over there and a little further up the road, and you're in hog country.
Well, I'll tell you what. I knew we were in trouble when we got close to Quincy. It said 44 miles to Quincy, 34 miles to Hannibal.
Yeah.
Like, really?
Yeah.
Really? Like, this is no good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a long haul.
It is a long haul.
Long haul.
And I would have loved to have had to go back to that long haul today, but was not to be for Litchfield. It was just, that was the perfect example of a postseason game. Litchfield made some mistakes and did some things they hadn't done all year long, and It wound up costing them the ball game, but yeah. That's why it's so hard to advance in postseason play, and that's why if you win a regional, it's a great year.
It's a big deal.
Great year.
It really is a big deal.
And when you get to that stage, Tim, as you said, Litchfield made a few mistakes, and when you're at that level and you make a mistake, your opponent is good. He takes advantage of that mistake and hammers you with it.
Yep.
And it's all about execution.
Execution.
And you know, if you don't execute properly, you're going to have problems. Nokomis had that problem executing the rundown the other day. Probably one too many throws, and it led to a call by the umpire and a warning of a home plate to the base runner, and that turned out to be the winning run. And, you know, again, probably one too many throws.
Yeah, it looked like they could have ran him right back to the bag and had him out, but they made it. It wasn't a throw that went more than 2 or 3 feet.
No.
But, you know, you get in the heat of the battle and you just, you know, you don't make the right play, the quick decision, and it happens. But, yeah, it was an unfortunate way for that ball game to end. Terry, people who listen to us on a regular basis know that the last thing we ever do is bash officials or question officials. We just don't do it.
I've had a half a dozen people either call me or ask me about what happened, and I still don't know what happened.
It was a very odd situation.
Odd,
I mean, the kid from Marquette was clearly out of the baseline. There's no question about this. He was out of the baseline. Now, we assumed during the broadcast, and you pointed out that they probably called the obstruction on Nokomis, but talking to Brian Pisco after the ball game, that is not the explanation he got from the umpire.
Which leaves me scratching my head. So,
yes.
But then again, we're 100 feet away.
Right, exactly.
The umpire was
exactly.
3 feet away. He was right there on the play. And, you know, I'm not going to question that call. And, you know, in championship games, especially those extra inning games, it's always something like that it comes down to. You know, it's just inevitably you're going to have something that's just a little quirky, something you don't see every day. And sure enough, that's what we had.
But you just hate to see it in the 16th inning of a sectional game. Have it come down to an umpire call like that, and what basically turned out to be a judgment call.
Sure.
Yeah. And you have to take your hat off to that umpire.
He made the call.
He did not hesitate. Nope. And the umpiring crew did a great job.
They did.
They did a great job that game. And, you know, I'm not going to complain about it at all. I don't completely understand what went on, but then again, they don't have to please me.
No.
They don't have to please me, but I would at least like to understand the thought process behind the call, because apparently said, well, the base runner can go wherever he wants, which is true. The base runner can make your own base path. But the base runner in this case had made his path because he had been in the rundown for 3 or 4 throws, and his path was in the dirt.
Mm-hmm.
He was going straight back and forth.
He was following the chalk line.
Nokomis got him back to the base, and they went to tag him, and he spun out of there probably about 4 feet onto the grass. So, to me, he was out of the baseline.
That's
how I saw it. He was out of the baseline.
That part of it I did see. Now, I'll be first to admit, we're 100 feet away or so. I'm looking through a fence. I'm also looking through a coach, an on-deck batter, and a couple other players that have, you know, thrown the ball and gotten out of the way. But I do remember the young man stepping out of the baseline. And I'm not criticizing him or the umpire or anything, but that I do remember. Beyond that, you know, it is what it is, and it happened, and c'est la vie, the sun came up the next day.
It did, but there was a lot of perplexed looks on a lot of people's faces at that ball game
that afternoon, on both sides.
Yeah, on both sides, yeah.
And that's why it is referred to as a game of inches.
Oh, man,
yes.
And you've seen games decided by a outfielder making a throw to the wrong base, or just something small that flips the advantage to the other side, and they take advantage of it, as we said.
Sure.
Good ball clubs do.
And let's give credit. Marquette's a heck of a ball
club. Oh, they're a good club.
And they've been playing in 2A the last 3 or 4 years. Their schedule is heavily laden with 2A and 3A competition. They are a good team.
They'll give Carrollton all they want.
They wouldn't shock me if they beat Carrollton. Would not shock me the least little bit.
Because one thing, Carrollton's going for a two-peat, and Petty, that gets difficult. When you get to this stage, it gets difficult. Everybody's gunning for you.
You just don't see it very often at the small high school level,
back-to-back
champions. It's very rare.
Especially in baseball,
because
baseball is such a goofy sport. It's ruled by the foul pole syndrome, which means a lot of times crazy things happen and things that don't necessarily make sense. And to be able to go through two seasons and end up as state champions is virtually – I would say of all the sports, that's probably the sport that it's the most impossible.
Yeah. And most teams
unlikely, I should say.
Most teams have, quote unquote, an outstanding pitcher, and then they got some throwers. And when you get down to the latter part where game after game after game, you know, this can be a factor.
You know, they had the both Coonrod boys last year. Well, now they got Joey this year. So, you know, not that they don't have other good pitchers, but Joey was used the other day. And when you look at that sectional tournament, three out of the last 4 years, the state champions come out of that sectional.
That's impressive.
You have Columbia, Lincolnwood, and Carrollton.
Could happen again this year,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, could very well happen again this year. That is one of the toughest sectional tournaments in the entire state in small school baseball right there.
We want to congratulate the local teams and our listening area that advanced into section of play with the Gillespie Miners softball team. Of course, the Purple Panthers of Litchfield and the Nokomis Redskins, all fine seasons.
You know what? We had such a great time, had a lot of fun doing ball games this year. And again, now that the season is just about over for most everybody, congratulations and thank you to all the athletic directors and coaches and the personnel, the players we deal with, and because we had a tremendous season again, and you know, no problems whatsoever. We certainly appreciate their assistance, and we really feel like welcomed guests, and we look forward to Football Friday already here on August 24th. So
it'll be here before
it will be here before we know it. Yes, indeed.
And hats off to all these schools and coaches and whatever staff. Again, for their hospitality, because they certainly treat us well.
They do. Great people. Also going on today, the finals of the IHSA Boys Track and Field state meet at O'Brien Stadium in Charleston. Our 2A kids from Hillsborough did not qualify yesterday for the finals, and that's one of these goofy situations where virtually everybody else in our listening area is 1A that we follow on a regular basis, but the Toppers Boys Track team got bumped to 2A this year. But anyway, I digress. In Class 1A, competing today in the finals, in the long jump, Jacob Sechrist from Southwestern, Jack Denby from Carlinville in the pole vault, Matt Mueller from Mont Olive in high jump, Nick Bergman from Litchfield in the shot put, who I think set the Litchfield record this year, broke the Litchfield record in shot put, Jake Mahon from Staunton in the discus, Jacob Sechrist from Southwestern, Kyle Kleeman from Carlinville in the triple jump, and Cameron Walter, the speedster from Greenville, in the 100 and the 200 meters. So,
Terry, we got a man on the phone who knows a little bit about track and field, Mr. Dave Yokish.
How about that? Good morning, David.
Just trying to muddle up your show. You're doing fine on just what I was about to talk about, which was state track and field. I've spent two hot days watching Thursday and Friday.
And, boy, they were warm, weren't they?
They were warm, but the kids came through with some great preliminary performances, and I think I'm going to choose IHSA.TV and watch in the air conditioning today, but I bet they put on a great show today, too.
Oh, I was watching a little bit of the girls last week and just trying to keep track of everything that was going on. It's virtually impossible. But, yeah, you know, I think you have a huge advantage by being there.
Except you can't see everything. I was talking with a throws coach yesterday about the fact that track and field is like a three-ring circus, and you have to choose where you're going to watch. And I came decked out in a stopwatch and field glasses, and I still miss things.
Yeah, I bet you do. I bet you do, because not only the thing about the state track and field meet is that you've got multiple events going on at the same time in different parts of the O'Brien Stadium complex, so you can't possibly see it all.
That's true. You kind of choose your weapon. Like yesterday, I chose my weapon of going over to watch the 2A best flight of the discus because I wanted to watch the thrower from Petersburg Porta, who's a great thrower. And there were other great throwers. In fact, before he got to throw, there was a record attempt by another thrower. And the State Journal yelled out that a spectator told the head field judge to stay here because more was going to happen. That happened to be me telling the head field judge, stay tuned because Port is going to throw and it's going to be a record.
Is Port of the team to beat in that?
Some of the 2A track events as a result.
Yeah. Is Port of the team to beat in that class there, Dave?
in terms of team scores, they're not going to be able to come close. In fact, the story for Central Illinois is that Jacksonville should have a real shot at a team trophy, and that's the first time they've been in that position in 2A, and probably really the first time in a long time that Jacksonville's been in that position. If you go back to the 70s and before, Jacksonville has a proud tradition of track and field, and they've certainly got a great group of sprinters this year.
And Dave, I guess of all the high school sports, if you can take home a trophy in team track and field, that might be one of the greatest accomplishments you can have.
I'm prejudiced when I agree with you on that.
You've been there and done that. Yeah.
Yes. I guess it's unique to track and field in the current scoring system that an individual, if he's really good enough, can get you close to a team trophy. I always admire the schools who win it the hard way, and that's through team depth where they're scoring in a lot of events, but sometimes it doesn't work out that way. And in track and field, the best way to get that team trophy is to have two or three great sprinters, and then you're going to be in the running.
Dave, how tough is it on schools, for instance, like Hillsborough this time, where you go from 1A to 2A? How tough is it on these young ladies and gentlemen when their schools are bumped from like a 1A to a 2A class, a competition that much stronger? Does it make it pretty tough on these individuals?
Yes, you're going to get a political statement out of me. I really think it's a step in the negative direction. You lose, and not just track and field, but you lose the tradition of expectations in a certain class when you get moved back and forth like that. It goes beyond record keeping, which is another point that I think is negative in terms of moving back and forth from one class to another. Some schools have not adopted well, but I think of the Petersburg-Porter girls team that was moved up to 2A and has competed very well, and the discus thrower from Porta, when they moved up to the 2A, has competed well. So it still comes down to the psychology of how that person or school attacks the new higher level. Some can do it without having tradition. In a lot of cases, I think tradition makes it pretty tough to move up to higher level.
Of course, Hillsborough was in a unique situation where the girls were 1A and the boys were 2A.
And that's part of loss of tradition. You don't know where you're at when you start the season. Sports seasons rely a lot on expectations. If you don't believe it, ask Nokomis basketball players as a good example. And moving from one class to another ruins the expectations tradition.
Dave Jokic, one of the great track and field minds in the state of Illinois, joining us here on Sports Saturday. Dave, you mentioned the discus thrower from Porta. Who are some of the other top individual performers people should have an eye on this weekend?
If you're talking, well, I'm going to go to 3A. I was lucky enough to work the 3A Belleville West sectional as a fully automatic timer. Jerry Grandoni was my assistant that day, and he kept saying afterwards that's the best sectional I've ever seen, especially in terms of sprints. For example, in the 100 meters, the top five times in the state in 3A came out of that sectional.
Wow.
The 3A is just loaded with speed, both in Southern Illinois and Northern Illinois. There was a coach behind me in the last event, the mile relay, that said it's going to take a 3:21 to qualify for the finals. And I turned around and I said, no, it's going to take under a 3:20 to qualify. I said, because this state meet is loaded with sprinters. And when you get sprinters excited in a state venue, they can really turn a 4x4. Well, I missed it by two schools. There were two schools at just over 3:20. that made it into the finals, but the West were 319 and under, and that's unusual. That's national caliber type mile relays.
That's impressive. That's impressive. Dave, talk a little bit about the feeling when you take a team or just a few individuals to a state track and field meet. Talk about the camaraderie amongst athletes. It's not like any other sport.
It's quite an experience to overcome for an individual. In a team sport on the state level, the team play, if it's positive or good, can hide some mistakes you might have made in that state tournament game. In track and field, you can't hide your mistake. You can't hide a lesser performance than what you are used to. And that can be very intimidating. And I think athletes know that amongst themselves, look out for that, and are sympathetic to that amongst each other. And sometimes that team growth or that camaraderie can be higher than normal because of that.
And something about when you're out there, Dave, and you're competing on your own level with your own skills, you know, it's team sports. If someone is, say, not feeling up to par that day, as you said, you can kind of, everybody else can kind of hook it up a little and go on. But when you're out there on that track and you're all wrapped up within yourself, if you're not at your very best, it's tough.
Yeah, it can be very intimidating, and I always have great respect for any athlete who wants to take on the state level. Yesterday in the 2A, the top time in the 110 high hurdles out of sectional, false started. And so there he was walking down next to the track going back to the tent because he was going to report in for the 100. And, of course, he's realizing that everybody in the stadium has their eyes on him, and that can be an awful experience and can make for a tough day.
Well, if somebody knows about having all the eyes on them in the stadium, it would be Kelsey Card, of course, one of the great track and field athletes that the state has seen in a long while. Have you been able to keep up with her collegiate career, Dave?
You read my mind. Of course, I got to see her compete twice this, actually three times so far this season. Her opening indoor meet, I got to see her throw in the shot put at the Big Ten indoors, and I got to see her throw the shot put at the outdoor Big Tens. And yesterday she competed in what's called the West preliminary round at the University of Texas. What the NCAA does for qualifying for nationals, they have a preliminary round, one in the Western United States, one in the Eastern United States, in which they bring the top 48 to each preliminary round. And when you throw, if you place in the top 12, then you will qualify for the nationals, which are going to be June 6th through 9th at Des Moines, Iowa. And Kelsey on Thursday failed to place in the top 12. She was 16th out of 48 in the shot put, but she came back on yesterday and placed 9th in the discus out of 48 competitors and qualified in that event for the nationals. So I will get to see her one more time at Des Moines in the nationals in the discus competition.
Unbelievable talent that young lady has.
Well, and we've already talked about the intimidation factor, not only talented physically, but talented mentally. She continues to come up with some of her best performances at the highest level of competition.
We had her in here a couple years ago during our summer series, and it was amazing how you just said it, Dave. She's so grounded. I mean, you would never know that she was going into her senior year in high school, just the way she was talking about the educational process, you know, because we were trying to find out if she was interested in, like, the Olympics, if she had these types of things on her mind. She's like, I want to go to college and get my education, and then the chips will fall where they may.
Yeah, she is still that way.
You know, Dave, we talk about any sport, of course, but especially track and field. We talk about the physical toughness that it takes to be a top competitor in track and field. And sometimes we overlook the mental part of that, the mental toughness that you got to have.
It's certainly one of the highest contributing factors to successful performance in any sport, more particularly in track and field, when you're competing at the high levels. Yesterday, she went from 17th rank to 9th rank. That means she out threw 8 competitors who were seated much higher with their performance levels going into that meet. And those are girls who have competed successfully in their conference meets and in their area meets. So it's not like she was out doing somebody that had never been in that position before.
And Dave, just like progressing physically, the mental aspect is something you start with at a young age and you continue to build on it as you go along in your career. It's not something you just switch on and off or gather overnight.
The mental aspect is something that can be practiced and improved on. Yes, there are athletes who naturally are psychologically better off than others, but I am one who, when I coached, was thoroughly convinced that if you practice it properly, you can improve your mental outlook during competition.
And you see, Dave, that's where on Saturday morning sports here we have an advantage on. We don't have to have any mental toughness.
We got none. Hey, Dave, it's amazing. Like, technique in track and field is so important when it's not a matter of, we talk about baseball being a game of inches. Track and field's a game of tenths of seconds.
Yes. So many events, the actual technique that makes or breaks you can take place in a split second. The best example I can think of is long jump. You can change the distance you go 2 to 3 feet by what you do in that last quarter of a second.
It's amazing. Dave, well, we have you on the phone here, and we really appreciate you calling in. Are you still doing the speed camps, and can folks sign up for those things?
I am not, but if you go in line sometime on my website next week, I will post a throws camp that is taking place down in the Edwardsville area.
Okay.
And what is the website, Dave?
JTrackCC.com. Take the word track, put the letter J in front of it, CC right after it, .com.
All so right. Simple, even Uncle Ralph could find that.
Yeah, I could find that. Dave, you got to come visit us some Saturday.
I'll have to do that.
You going?
And bring your guitar, too.
You know, that's getting a little bit rusty. I'm afraid this spring that I worked 32 track meets from the beginning of April through the last week and during sectional time.
Well, you know, if you're a little bit rusty, you fit right in with us.
We'll start a trio or a quartet or whoever wants to join in.
We got more rust on this show, Dave, than WD-40 can cure.
Dave Jokisch, we really appreciate you calling in this morning. Thank you so much for your time, and enjoy the rest of today.
Hey, I have one minor thing to
sure.
add. This is an Eric Jokisch update. He was moved up from high A in Daytona to double A with the Tennessee Smokies, and in his opening game for Tennessee last night, he pitched a 5-inning shutout, two hits.
Wow.
No walks, three strikeouts. So he's moving up, and based on first start, he's doing well.
He's on his Good. Way.
On his way, baby.
Right.
I tell you, he's on his way. We're going to see him there.
I'll be quiet now. Thanks for your time.
All right. Thank you very problem. Much. He didn't want to jinx him.
Yeah, I know. One of the great guys you could ever talk to, Dave Jokisch. Really, really enjoy being around Dave and just talk with Dave. Great guy.
Knows his track and field.
He knows a lot of things.
Oh yeah,
not just track and field, but the psyche of people and you know how to communicate with somebody to get them to take their skill level to one step further. He's just a great guy to be, and he really does play the guitar. I had him in here one day on the Wednesday talk. We had him on Wednesday talk show one day. Him in here and playing music. So
jtrackcc.com. Check that website out to get some information on the throw camps. We need a break here on Sports Saturday. We're back following these messages.
Farming doesn't follow an 8-to-5 schedule. A slow week is 60 to 80 hours. My land, livestock, and family rely on me. That's why I bought farm insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, because every policy comes with a local agent, a real person who lives right in my community, who I can rely on to keep my farm covered no matter what.
See the Bruce Webb Insurance Agency in Farmersville or Raymond.
Half-gallon cartons of strawberry and vanilla ice cream from Prairie Farms Dairy, perfect for birthday parties, outdoor gatherings, or for your own cool refreshment during the warm days of spring and the hot days of summer. It's sure to be a hit. Look for Prairie Farms half gallons of strawberry and vanilla ice cream in your local grocer's freezer. And taste the homemade goodness of farmer-owned Prairie Farms.
And at 9:50, let's take a look at the weather forecast brought to you by CarQuest. In Carlinville and Jacksonville, you'll find it at CarQuest. Sunny skies for today. Expect a high of around 95 degrees for today. Clear skies for tonight. We'll have a low of around 70. Heading into tomorrow, sunny skies. Expect a high of around 95 degrees. Clear skies for tomorrow night with a low of around 73 degrees. Extended look at the forecast Monday. 30% chance of rain. Expect a high Monday of around 93 degrees, 40% chance of rain Monday night with a low of around 68 degrees. At 9:51, we have a temperature reading of 81 degrees, and the weather forecast is brought to you by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. Sports Saturday continues in 1 minute.
Hi, I'm Jim Miller, Vice President, Senior Law Officer at Security National Bank. Farmers, it's time to get your spring finances in order, and we're ready to help you at Security National Bank, a small-town bank where we know your name with an established reputation in the area since 1932. We can help with all your ag lending needs. Stop by and see us today or log on to securitynb.com to find out more. Security National Bank, your hometown bank you can trust since 1932, with four locations to serve you in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. Member FDIC, housing lender.
Since 1899, four generations of Huffs have been dedicated to serving families in Central Illinois. Today, they continue that tradition of compassion, personal attention, and professional service that started long ago. The Huff family has always tried to place the needs of their families first, to provide them the information to make wise decisions at such a delicate time in their life. Today, Dan and David Huff continue this family tradition. Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro, you do have a choice.
And at 9:52, Sports Saturday continues once again. Here's Tim Mize, Terry Tote, and Uncle Ralph.
All right. Thank you very much, Tobinot, and happy Memorial Day again to everyone here who has served our fine country. And Cardinal baseball tonight.
Cardinal baseball. Hey. You know, we talk about certain benchmarks in the high school sports seasons. For Major League Baseball, Memorial Day is kind of the first benchmark.
You usually are what you are by Memorial Day. And I'll tell you what, fellas. Old Mr. Pujols is heating up.
Yep.
Starting to look like the old Albert. Now, I think he's hit a home run in like four straight games. The production totals going up. The average slowly on the rise. It looks like he has finally calmed down and settled in. And his swings are starting to look to more like what we're accustomed to seeing.
And isn't that great for baseball?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Baseball is not good if he is struggling like he was struggling.
True.
Now, with that said, I hope the Angels stink. I hope the Angels are just
don't mince words, Tim. How do you read me?
I hope they're terrible.
Well, they got off to a pretty rotten start, and I guess we attribute a lot of that to Albert not doing well. But they had a lot of other guys who wasn't doing well.
It was not an Albert problem. It was a them problem.
Yeah.
I tell you what, you look at this baseball season, though. How many surprises are out there? I
mean,
look at Baltimore.
Who would figure the Yankees and the Red Sox would be last place?
Yeah.
With Baltimore and Toronto up top of the American League.
Well, let me just say, wait.
Yeah. It's a long season.
Long season.
You are what you are most of the time.
Yes.
Washington,
not the Yankees.
Washington's top of the heap.
Washington's top of the heap. Phillies are in last place, I think, in the East. At least they were before last night. Detroit was, you know, predicted to just run away with the American League Central. They have really struggled out of the gate. And, guys, the Cardinals have really hit a rough, rough patch here the last couple of weeks. They have not been playing good baseball. Injuries have had a lot to do with it. But they've had some games that they could have, and maybe you could say should have won late, and they just have not been able to get that clutch hit. They score a lot of runs, and you know, really it's come down, pitching has been their problem, but they've had opportunities with their offense to get some hits late to secure wins, and they've not been able to do it. But, you know, baseball comes down, the best hitter still fails 7 out of 10 times.
That's
it's easy to forget that sometimes, but 7 out of 10 times, they're out.
And every team
Those are good hitters.
And every team goes through a stretch like the Cardinals are going through, no matter who they are or what they are, no matter how good they are.
And another good ball club has been going through a lot of that now in the last few days. As you mentioned, Albert Pujols is starting to warm up. I noticed where Mr. Fielder's hit 3 home runs, I think, in the last 2 days. He's beginning to warm up a little, and Detroit has not been.
And these guys who sign these big contracts, there's always an adjustment period. Yeah. They always think that there won't be, that they can just go off, but it's human nature. You try to do a little bit too much to prove that you're worth the big dollars, and it just takes a little while to get settled in.
And what I've seen of baseball around the country, who's going to stop the Rangers?
Oh, man.
No one. These guys...
There's only one thing that can stop the Rangers, and it's the Rangers.
And it's the Rangers. Yeah, you're right.
I still have to sit back and think, how did the Cardinals beat them last year? When you looked at the
two good pitching always stops good hitting.
Well, that's true.
Hot at the right time.
Hot at the right time.
I had to laugh the other day. Chris Perez, I guess, was doing a presser after the Indians game, and he was kind of a little snide comment about the Indian fans and how they're first-place team, they're not showing up.
He's got
a point. I think, what was it, the next game? It was a sellout, and he comes out to get a save, and there's a sign, hey, we're here, Chris, we're here. He gets a standing ovation.
Good for them. In Cleveland, in the 90s, they had a run of consecutive sellouts.
The Jake sold that thing out constantly. Yeah. They were sold out day in and day out.
It concerns me, being a baseball fan, it concerns me is when, or is it ever, this bubble going to burst where people continue to pay these absorbent prices to go to ball games. I don't know where, as bad as the economy is in some areas, but St. Louis ballpark's full every day.
Well, that's right. We get spoiled as Cardinal fans because Tuesday night, 40,000.
Yeah.
You know, Tuesday night, 40,000. Those are weekend crowds if most teams are lucky.
Thursday getaway day, 42,000.
Yeah. Yeah, huh? But when the Cardinals, it's amazing. Like if you watch other games or when the Cardinals go on the road, a lot of empty seats. You just don't see that at Busch Stadium.
And if there is empty seats at Busch Stadium, the ticket has been sold.
Ralph, I think in one respect, of course, the Cardinals draw from such a huge area.
Oh, yeah.
And that for many people, maybe they'll make one or two trips to the ballpark per year, and that's their day. That's part of their vacation thing. And there's just so many people doing that, that's why they always have a good crowd. And the Cardinals...
perimeter.
Let's face it, they're a family-friendly organization.
And, you know, I think the Cardinals have been pressing a little bit more at home. Like, their home record is
not that good.
You know, you look at their home-road splits. Basically, all the hitters have performed better on the road. And I think they're just trying – they know the fans are there. They want to play well for the fans so hard that maybe you grip the bat a little bit tighter, squeeze that baseball just a skosh tighter, and
now,
that makes all
the
difference.
You want to talk about the economy and the effect? Keep an eye on the Rams. See if they get $700 million for that rent. I mean, you know they're not going to get what they want. It's going to be somewhere in the middle. But see how that ends up going to be.
I think we know how that's going to end up.
They're going to stay in St. Louis.
Oh, I think they're going to stay in St. Louis, but
they're going to shut the heck up and play in their
somewhere.
They're not going to get Broadway moves.
No, they're not.
That much is true.
They are the number 2 team in St. Louis, and don't ever forget the number three team in St. Louis.
East St. Louis is looking for new people.
East St. Louis is looking for a lot of things.
That's true, too.
Yeah. No professional team will ever move to the East.
Quote, unquote, on that, Timbo.
That's right.
But, and
too many people are looking for the wrong things in East St. Louis.
great SNL skit.
And our neighbors... And our neighbors to the north, pardon me, Cub fans, but they're a lousy ball club.
Oh. But, you know, when they play the Cardinals, they look good.
Oh, yeah. But I was watching them play the other day. I bet there were 30,000 people in that little ballpark. Oh, man.
Yeah, they turned Brian LeHair into Babe Ruth.
Any port in a storm, man.
Oh, man. Wow. Well, we are out of time on this edition of Sports Saturday. We want to thank Dave Jokisch for calling in and giving us his great insights on the state track meet going on. Good luck to all the teams competing in sectional softball and baseball championship games today. And, of course, thank you to all of the veterans across this great land. We are out of time. For Tobin, Terry, Uncle Ralph, I'm Tim. Sports Saturday is done. This is your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WQSMI-FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville.